From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. When summer vacation comes to an end and kids return to the classroom, many find they've fallen behind. What can be done to prevent summer learning loss? The Summer Arts and Learning Academy is a free camp for elementary school students run by Baltimore City Schools and Young Audiences of Maryland. Stacy Sanders-Evans, head of Young Audiences, says pairing teachers and artists can halt summer slide and make math and reading fun.
There are a lot of people that don't take the arts serious. They don't really see it as a thing that can fuel achievement, that has the power to close the achievement gap.
Plus slime and other do-it-yourself experiments at the Maryland Science Center. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. During the summer months, many kids spend their days playing outside and relaxing with family and friends. For other families, summers can be stressful, navigating the challenges of childcare, transportation, and meals when school is not in session. In both cases, but especially for kids from low-income families, important skills like math, reading, and writing can grow rusty and neglected. The National Summer Learning Association, headquartered in Baltimore, finds that children typically lose 2 months of math achievement each summer. In reading, low-income children fall 2 to 3 months behind their peers. The consequences of summer learning loss are apparent when students return to the classroom. 9 out of 10 teachers say they spend the first 3 weeks of the school year reteaching concepts that already had been covered. To combat summer slide, Baltimore City Public Schools and Young Audiences of Maryland have partnered to offer enrichment programs for elementary and pre-kindergarten kids. Here to tell us about it is Stacy Sanders-Evans, President and CEO of Young Audiences. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Laura Ohanian, Director of Differentiated Learning at Baltimore City Public Schools, is also with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start with Summer Arts and Learning Academy, a free 5-week program for children who attend Title I schools in the city. What do kids do at the academy?
Well, last Monday, we kicked off with 2,200 students, pre-K through fifth grade. This program is happening at 8 different sites across the city. When they show up, they get 90 minutes of literacy instruction through the arts and 90 minutes of math instruction through the arts. And what makes this academic program different is that that instruction is delivered in partnership by a city school teacher and a professional artist. So it might be a musician, a playwright, a poet who's partnering with one of our teachers to think about how do we deliver this content in a different way that really harnesses the power of the creative process to draw kids into learning. And in the afternoon, they get the opportunity to explore something that interests them. So we have performing and visual arts classes, we have athletics, and we also have a robotics program.
And how has Summer Arts and Learning Academy grown?
We started off with one site about 4 years ago, and we saw that the majority of the kids in the program, we saw gains in their writing skills because we have our kids journal every day. So we expanded to 4 sites a few years ago, and we have gotten some pretty incredible results in looking at student achievement. So City Schools asked us to expand the program to 8 sites this year.
How is it funded?
So it's primarily funded through grant dollars, through our Title I dollars, which is why we target at the Title I schools. And then Young Audiences does quite a bit of outreach for fundraising. And I think to Stacy's point around the fact that it's not just enrichment, but intervention as well.
Explain that distinction. By intervention, you mean?
I mean actually mitigating summer learning loss and addressing literacy and math skills.
Let's take a listen to a class at Dorothy I. Height Elementary School. First, we'll hear teacher Denise Green, then puppeteer Lily Gershon with the students.
In kindergarten, one of the things they have to learn is how to sort objects and tell if things are the same or different.
See, mine is small and yours is big, so they're not exactly the same. That's That's right. There's things that are the same, but they're not exactly the same. Can you find something that's exactly the same, Grumblina?
Okay, I'll look. Let's see. How about this thing? No, that's not the same.
Okay, let's see, Raven, can you tell me why these are not the same?
Because one is black and one is white.
Oh yeah, they're not the same.
So by using the puppets, that was the lesson all in one. So they were engaged, they were interacting with the puppets and being able to tell what's the same and what's different, making corrections, and it was really silly. So at the same time, they're learning, but it's not just sitting in a chair listening to someone lecture.
They also sound like they're having a lot of fun. Laura, how do teachers and artists work together to develop a curriculum?
They come together much earlier than the program starts. And they go through professional development together. And the professional development and the bringing together of the artists and the teacher is a really unique process that the teacher can then use what they've learned from the teaching artist during the summer to apply it in their classroom later on. So they come together and they get their professional development together. But Stacy can speak a little bit to the months they take to help develop the teaching artist, which is what, a 6-month process?
Correct. We can't just put artists in classrooms and expect them to be successful. What we find is that there are so many amazing artists in our community who are really talented in their art form and have a natural gift of being able to motivate kids and work with kids, but they need to understand the standards and curriculum that our schools are held accountable for. They need to understand how to manage a classroom, how to collaborate and co-teach with someone, share that space, and also how to assess if what they're trying to teach is actually working. So that takes time. And we do have a process. It's called the Summer Arts Core Training. And in addition to, learning from our education director, we actually pair each of our artists up with a teacher from this program. And during the school year, they need to go in and they get to practice co-teaching. They get to practice an arts integrated lesson. They get feedback from teachers. So by the time the Summer Arts and Learning Academy starts, they really are equipped to be a good partner to our teacher. We take great care in matching our teachers with our artists. And we use the curriculum that Baltimore City Schools uses. And we give that to our teacher and their artist partner. And it's up to them. It's not canned, lessons. Mm-hmm. It's really up to them to authentically find the connection between puppetry and, ratios or fractions. Teachers and artists, that collaboration, there's something magical about that.
Laura, why, fundamentally, why take this approach, combining typical instruction with the arts to combat summer learning loss?
Part of why was because we saw great outcomes with it. Also, if you look at the research on learning and the development of a student, arts integration is a critical part of a program and provides the student an opportunity to engage in material in a unique and new way. During the school year, we share the information, we do arts integration, but not in a way where you have a teaching artist there the entire time. You've got an educator and a teaching artist working together, and we have a little bit more flexibility in the summer. I will say, though, as a district, we're looking at summer programming and trying and doing lots of different things to support the continuum of learner. So we have the Summer Learning Arts Academy, but we have programs for our English learners in the summer. We have AP Academy for our older students. So we have a variety. We have almost 6,000 kids in programming just with city schools, along with some really great partners throughout the city who are providing programming to students. So I think one of the most important things is this is a huge part of an amazing portfolio that we're trying to provide to students.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking about summer learning with Laura Ohanian, Director of Differentiated Learning at Baltimore City Public Schools, and Stacy Sanders Evans, Head of Young Audiences of Maryland. City schools and young audiences are partnering to provide free and creative learning opportunities during summer vacation. There's been a couple of references to evaluating. Stacy, how have you assessed the impact of the Summer Arts and Learning Academy on student achievement?
We've looked at it a lot of different ways. Every year we work with an outside evaluator. We do pre and post writing assessments, math assessments, literacy assessments. And in addition to that, the Office of Achievement and Accountability at Baltimore City Schools also takes a look at essentially looking at student performance on standardized tests at the end of the school year and then again at the beginning of the school year to see if their programs have actually mitigated summer learning loss. What we have seen in our evaluation, Young Audiences evaluation, is that the majority of students who are in the program, we are seeing incredible gains in their math skills, their literacy skills, their social-emotional competencies as well.
Let me just make sure I understand. You're saying not only are you not seeing summer learning loss in those children, you're seeing gains?
Correct. Now, what's interesting is, and this is why I love the partnership with City Schools, is they're looking at, you know what, yes, there's gains within a five-week program, but do they stick? Do they stick months later?
And the answer is?
So when we look at our summer programs, we're looking at the end of the year and then beginning of year, which is around 4 months. And we see that students in the Young Audiences program have less summer learning loss than if they didn't have a program or if they were in another program. And in fact, last year we saw students who actually flipped. So not only did they have mitigated summer learning loss, which is pretty impressive if you look at summer evaluation in general, but they were actually had gains in that four-month measure, not at the beginning and the end of program. At the beginning and the end of program, we definitely see gains. For us, it's very important that whatever we're doing, we are evaluating regularly and we're evaluating fairly with all the other programs that we are providing. Because we want to know what is going to make a difference for the student when they start in the school year. And what we're also doing is we're looking at qualitative data, student surveys and family surveys. And what we were finding is they love the program. They're enjoying it.
Outside of this academy, when you tally up summer learning loss and the time spent reteaching at the beginning of the school year, how would you describe the impact that has on student achievement?
What the research suggests is around fifth grade, you can lose up to 2.5 to 3 years of instruction during the summer months, during that out of school time. And a program that can mitigate that can make the world of difference for a student.
Mm-hmm. Why is the impact typically greater on low-income students?
I think what happens is the experiences that people have during the summer. And so if you look at the research and you look at comparative studies of students who are from low-income families and those from middle or upper-income families, the middle and upper-income families have the resources to provide the students enriching and intervention experiences. The beauty of what we're doing here is we're providing that through Young Audiences. So Stacy talked about the 90 minutes of reading and the 90 minutes of math and literacy and support and all the things we're doing. But they're also taking them on field trips and taking them to museums. And we know if we look that students having these types of experiences that build background knowledge, you know, going to a museum, you not only are learning about a topic, but you're really engaging in that topic. You're learning about the history of it, what happened with it. And so when you go back to the classroom during the school year, and they're talking about, let's say you go to the aquarium and we're talking about aquatic animals and you've been able to see that. Those experiences cost money sometimes. And a lot of our kids don't have those opportunities outside of the things we provide them during the summer.
Another program to come out of this partnership is Summer Reads, mm-hmm. which takes place at libraries across the city in the summer. What types of activity happen at the libraries?
So I'm very excited about the Summer Reads program. We are in 9 libraries, Weinberg libraries in Baltimore City Schools. And this program is a little bit different than the Summer Arts and Learning Academy because it's a drop-in program. So we're not really encouraging families to come every single day. They have the ability to do that, but it also can be flexible. There is a librarian at every site as well as a teacher. We have gotten artists and librarians guardians together prior to the summer to come up with curriculum and activities that are centered around one new book every day. And in addition to that, we have lots of fabulous enrichment partners, so Code in Schools, Future Makers, the SPCA Reading to Dogs program, and of course we have several artists who are in residence. So it's not so much about preventing summer learning loss, it's about instilling a love of reading.
And what do you hear from the kids and families about summer reads?
You know, I was just thinking back to this one experience where we brought in Brittany, who has the drawing zoo. And so she brought in lizards and bunny rabbits. And so in that library, you had students getting to feel the animals and draw the animals. And can you imagine what they came home talking about that day to their families? This program is designed for them. There are a lot of people that don't take the arts as serious. They don't really see it as a thing that can fuel achievement, that has the power to close the achievement gap. And a lot of people don't really think about artists as catalysts for sort of transforming our learning environments and re-envisioning the way we need to engage our kids. And so it's created this opportunity for people to see artists in our community and cultural organizations in a different light, that, you know, we can be utilized.
Well, I appreciate your sharing it with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Stacey Sanders-Evans, President and CEO of Young Audiences of Maryland. Laura Ohanian, Director of Differentiated Learning at Baltimore City Public Schools. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we'll post information about the Summer Arts and Learning Academy and the drop-in program Summer Reads, which is held at libraries across the city, and other drop-in programs. I'm Sheila Cast, On the Record. Quick break now. When we come back, fire, slime, snowballs, and juggling. We'll hear about DIY science activities kids can test out at the Maryland Science Center and at home. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about halting summer slide, the tendency of kids to lose some of the academic progress they've made during the school year while they're on vacation. Incorporating fun and educational experiences into summer vacation can help keep kids sharp. The Maryland Science Center is a place where families can engage in scientific discovery. In addition to exhibits on dinosaurs, space, and blue crabs, the Science Center offers hands-on experiences for kids to build, test, and create. Samantha Blau, External Programs Manager at the Maryland Science Center, is here to tell us more. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
There are several spaces at the Science Center that are dedicated to experimentation. Tell us about the SciLab and the Shed.
Sure. So our SciLab is on our second floor, and it's basically like a wet lab. So if you imagine a place where you think a bench scientist would be, someone who is working over a bench, has vials and beakers, and there's liquids and different ways to measure them, that's what we're trying to create there. So when you walk in, you're greeted by one of our staff members. We have safety goggles for you to wear. There are white lab coats for you to put on. And there are four different benches for you to sit down and do your own experiment. And you sort of walk yourself through, just like a scientist would, trying to create polymers or even unraveling DNA. And our staff is there to help you and answer any questions.
So that's the SciLab. What is the Shed?
So the Shed is our DIY makerspace. Each week, we have a different theme in our Shed. And depending on what the theme is, you might come in and do electro etching. Last week, we were turning potatoes into pianos with code and electronics. So there's always something different, and it's always about DIY, things that you can do yourself if you just have the knowledge and the skills, and about making and doing for yourself.
Turning potatoes into pianos.
Yeah, sure.
now through September, there's a program called Let's Science with different themes each week, themes like fizz and foam, polar party, beach week. What will kids be able to see and do this week when the theme is sun and heat?
Sure. So for sun and heat week, we are going to be highlighting our star, the sun, and we will have things out front in front of our museum. We've got a nice big patio area, and we are going to have something called a Fresnel lens, which is actually for all the parents out there. You remember those old overhead projectors that our teachers had? It's one of those sheets of plastic that actually enlarged the handwriting. So we take those from old overhead projectors, and we can actually use it to concentrate the light coming from the sun and roast marshmallows without a fire.
Roasting marshmallows is always a good goal.
Yeah.
The Maryland Science Center website has instructions for at-home activities.
Absolutely.
Using common household materials, and one of them is how to make slime.
Yes.
Can you give us a quick lesson?
I absolutely can. And so, you know, slime, I think, is probably very popular right now. A lot of parents are aware that there is a slime craze. And we like to encourage people to make it for themselves. But also think about, you know, for parents, think about what are the ways that we can incorporate scientific vocabulary into what we're doing. So it's not just slime for slime's sake, but also there's some of that learning that can be going on as well.
Let's make some slime.
Okay. So we're going to just add a few drops of our food coloring down to our cup, first off, because when we think of slime, we do think of it being colorful. And then what we have here is called polyvinyl alcohol. What people are going to want to use at home is Elmer's glue, because that has polyvinyl alcohol in it.
Elmer's glue has alcohol in it.
You know, like we have rubbing alcohol. Mm-hmm. There are lots of different liquids that are classified as alcohols. It's not just what we drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is polyvinyl alcohol.
Yes.
Is that viscous?
Well, you can take your stir stick, your popsicle stick there, and give it a stir and sort of feel it out. It's pretty liquidy. But it's got a little viscous to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not sloshy like water. It's got more heft to it than...
Yes. Now we have something that I refer to as sodium borate. So this is borax powder. You know, you use it for laundry detergent. So we just make a solution with that. So just mixing the borax powder with some water so that we get a clear solution. And then we're going to add a tablespoonful. And that's what's going to cause the polyvinyl alcohol to seize up. Yep.
Okay. So I've got the bottle of
sodium borate.
Sodium borate. And I'm pouring a little bit into this measuring spoon and dropping it in.
Yep, and then you're just going to give some stir, stir, stir. So we're just going to add some energy so that both of the liquids
combine. Oh, it got
thick
right away.
And then one of my very favorite things to do once kids have slime is to make them turn their play into scientific inquiry, because you start to take it out and you notice things about the slime. Sometimes it flows, and sometimes it starts to stay still, and sometimes you can make it into a ball and it bounces, and sometimes it flattens out like a pancake. So is it a solid? Is it a liquid? What could it be?
The same batch of slime can do all those different things?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
So that has to do with this being a polymer. The polymer molecules, imagine them like links in a chain. And the links can sort of curl up, and they can stretch out, and they can do a lot of different things. And so when we put them under pressure, they can start to act more like a solid. And then when we leave them alone, like if I put my blob down on the table here, it starts to spread out and it looks like a pancake. Kids are really good at classifying. That's something that elementary school students do very, very well. So they can tell you that liquid should stir, they should pour. They can tell you that solids should hold their shape. But slime sort of defies all of those things.
For many parents, reading is an obvious way to keep kids learning over the summer. Incorporating science might not come as naturally. What advice do you have about working science into conversations?
Sure. So a recent study by the U.S. Department of Education said that 98% of households try very hard to have weekly reading with their kids, and 93% are trying to have weekly math lessons. So we know that parents want to incorporate these things. But science is one of those things that a lot of people feel that they don't have the background for. And what we try and promote is that it's not about being a scientist, although that's a great occupation. Sometimes it's just about asking questions and being okay with asking rather than knowing. So when you're talking to your kids, when you're baking or cooking dinner, boiling water is a phase change. That's liquid turning into a gas. So what do we notice about that? And I think this generation is showing us they know how to use the internet, and that's where a lot of those answers are. So it's okay to ask together and find out the answers together.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Samantha Blau is External Programs Manager at the Maryland Science Center. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we'll post links to the home science activities, like the slime recipe, as well as a calendar of events at the Science Center. And we've got links to drop-in summer activities by the city's public schools. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.